Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to John 3:16. If you're visiting with us, this is something that the Spirit of God directed us, I believe, at least 4 years ago, at least, might be longer. But he directed us to read John 3:16 every service. That means every service. Whether it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or a homegoing ceremony, we read this scripture. For the Word of God will change you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we invite you to read along. I'm going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 today, and just read along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to just read, I like to read this, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. It's the revelation. It's the unfolding of God's Word by His Spirit that gives light. Now, I've got some notes here. Let me just share what the Spirit of God gave me a few weeks ago, and let's jump off from here. The Spirit of God said this. I want you to say this after me. All of God's actions have a purpose. And the way he said it to me is, God's actions have a purpose. And so at the time, I'm going to read this. You can follow along or write down the note. Psalm 119:89. Says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The contemporary English version of that scripture says, the sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will. His words will last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will not. They're going to stand forever. The God's Word translation says, the earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear. They're eternal. And so because his words are eternal, his purpose is eternal. And so his actions have purpose. He sent his word and healed them. So his purposes are eternal. And we know these scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's eternal, his Word is eternal, his will is eternal, thus his purpose is eternal. He has a purpose, and he, whenever you see God act and move, there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose for it. So his words are eternal. His purposes are eternal. And his purposes have eternal consequences and value. So his purposes have consequences. He created the heavens and the earth for a purpose. He acted. So now, just let's go over, just for a few moments, let's look at Genesis, just to take a walk through here for a moment. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. You know, you can, if you begin to just meditate a little bit, just a little bit, in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:26, and it says, "And God said," after he created everything, you can go through in the beginning of the chapter, and he said, "Let there be light." And he saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and so forth. And he made the firmament. He separated the firmaments, the firmament of the heaven above and beneath, or the waters above and beneath. And so after he created all of this, he still wasn't finished. Why did he create the earth? For his man. So he had a purpose in all of that. He had an eternal purpose. And he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." You know, let me just take a moment here and just share this. As a newborn Christian, brand new, I wasn't born again more than a week. At that time, there were people, and they're still talking it up today, about aliens and people on another planet and UFOs and all of this. And God, as a new Christian, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he created his man, and he sent a savior to this earth once. For all." He didn't send them to Mars and some other planet. He sent them here because he said, "Let us make man in our image," where? On the earth. But because you've got people who will not acknowledge God, who won't embrace God's word, they shooting rockets up looking for somebody. I mean, it'd be funny, but it's so. They're looking for something that doesn't exist. He sent and he created his man here. But when man fell, he needed a savior. And that savior came here to this earth. Once for all, and shed his blood. And so let's turn over to 1 Peter 1:18. Now this is all talking about the Father's purpose. 1 Peter 1:18. I guess I can just read that to you. Verses 18, 19, and 20 says, "As for as much as you know that you were redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained," he was predestinated, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And the Amplified says, it is true that he was chosen and foreordained, destined and foreknown for it before the foundation of the world, but he was brought out to public view or made manifest in these last days at the end of the times for the sake of you. And of course, Revelation 13:8, you're all familiar with this. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the Father's purpose after man fell, as we can see here in John 3:17, we just read, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was his purpose. His purpose was to create man, to subdue it, be his under ruler, or I guess the man that would rule the earth. But he fell. He missed it. He needed a savior. And God sent his Son, who was already predestinated to do it. So man, he knew man was going to miss it. He already knew before he created him, he was going to miss it. You know, that's a wonderful thing, a comforting thought for me, that before you missed it, he already knew it. He already has got a plan in place for you. So just the same way he had a purpose already in place for mankind, he's got a purpose in place for you. So take a deep breath, relax, keep your eyes on Jesus and not on all of the turmoil and trouble that may be going on in your family, even with your children. Train them up, send them out, and if they go off in a different direction, God's already got something to get them back on course. You just, as my brother was sharing this morning, our responsibility is to love, and it's God's responsibility to judge, and to judge it and to put things in place to get it corrected. It's his sheep, and it's his purpose to get his sheep back where they're supposed to be. And so let me just read this, Romans chapter 8. These are all familiar scriptures, but we're just painting a word picture here for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending, where? To the earth. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't come in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was sinless. So he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can see here that God, and this was one of the things that the Holy Ghost spoke to me a few weeks ago, he said that connections, let me just get my pad here because he said that the connections that he brings about have a purpose. So every connection that God establishes has a purpose. Whether our connection is with people, a pastor like Pastor Sarah, or it could be someone that comes into your life and he establishes that connection, look for a purpose in that. Not just say, you know, so what? No, there could be a God-ordained purpose for that connection. So you can see here the connection between God the Father and man was established through who? Christ. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says that for there is one God, this is 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there can be no connection made between the Father and you accept the Son. No connection. And there's an eternal consequence if you don't. And there is an eternal value if you do. You see. So you can see that where the connection, God established a connection or a way for us to have a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus. Now John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power." This is after you receive Him. "To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So that birth, that new birth, comes from God. Now, listen to this. This, you know, it's interesting. When we start looking at the Father's purpose, you could just as easily, that's the way the Holy Ghost spoke to me. God's actions have purpose. Well, you could say it's His will. It's the same thing. And so you can look at what God's purpose is, God's will. His word is His will. And His word is His purpose. Same thing. But He just showed me, He just gave me to look at it from the word purpose. And it's enlightening. If you go to John 6:40, and you can see John 6 and verse 40, and actually, I said 40, but I'm going to back up to verse 39. Let's back up to 38. "For I came down," this is Jesus speaking, "for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will," or you could say His own purpose, "but the will of Him," or the purpose of Him that sent me. Verse 39. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Verse 40. "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Amplified, of this verse 40. Let me read that to you. It says, "For this is my Father's will and purpose." This is my Father's will and purpose, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up from the dead at the last day." So it's not obscure. Jesus is telling us what the Father's will and purpose is. Now, let me jump over here to 2 Timothy for a second here. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 1:9. And it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." See? So God's purpose, well, His action. He sent His Son, and it says here, "Who hath saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The good news says he saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God's purpose was to do what? He endeavored. When man fell, he was in complete fellowship, unbroken fellowship. He was in the light. He broke fellowship by sinning, and what happened? The light lifted, the glory lifted, and now he's naked. Broken fellowship. He needed a Savior. But it's through this Savior that came that we can reestablish this connection with the Father and be born again. That was his purpose. He sent his Son. And so, it says, but because of his own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now it has been revealed to us through the coming of our Savior Christ Jesus. He has ended the power of death through the gospel, has revealed immortal life. Now, let me read this from the Amplified. The Amplified of 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further his own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, eternal ages ago. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known, has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of Jesus, our Savior, our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, to light through the gospel. So because of his purpose and grace, through Christ Jesus, we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank God for his purpose. Hallelujah. What a loving God. I think the word of the Lord came forth this morning that says, you are lovely in my eyes. You are lovely in my eyes. So God sees us as precious and lovely. That's his purpose. Let me just read this. Luke 8:11 says, the seed is the word of God. So the seed, of course we know this, the seed has potential in it. The seed has purpose in it. So when we get the seed of God in us, you know, it's an interesting thing. Any person who's not born again, most, they don't know what their purpose is on this earth. They're just some bumping around, you know, they're trying this or they think it's this, and then they're not sure, and so they're going after one thing or another, and they're not real clear as to their purpose. But the minute someone is born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, they immediately see. They know what their purpose is. Or they begin to see what their purpose is. Because that seed has purpose in it. God's purpose. It's breathed with God's purpose in it. So when you receive the seed of the Word of God, I'm telling you, I know for me, the minute I got born again, it was like somebody lifted a shade. Why? Because the Word is light. And the minute that Word gets in you, the minute eternal life gets into you, you begin to see your purpose. You begin to know who you really are. And so I'm telling you, it was funny. When I worked on corporate job, I programmed computer software, for a number of years, and had a team of people. And this one guy, you know, he was a character. That's all I'm going to tell you. He's a character at my expense. That's just the way it was. He was a joke, you know, a joker. And he knew I was a Christian, and so he had a good time on that. But he left, and a number of years later, he called me, and he said, "Hey," he said, "this is Jimmy." And I said, "Yes," because I didn't know what was going to come next. So I just said, "Yes." And he said, this is what he said to me, "I'm like you now." And I said, "Yes." Because there were many a joke that had been, you know, going on. So he said, "No, I'm like you now. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, born again, saved." And I said, "All right." I said, "Praise God." And this is what he said to me, which was so poignant. He said, the minute I got saved, he said, it was like somebody lifted a veil from my eyes. He said, I began to see what my purpose was. And I thought, okay. And he began to go into prisons. Matter of fact, he lived up in Orange County, and I remember at the time he told me he was going into Sullivan Correctional Facility. This is many, many years ago. And minister in that capacity. And so anytime any person begins with receiving Christ as their Savior, receiving the seed of the Word of God, they begin to know their purpose. I'm telling you, it's true. And if you don't know your purpose, one key could be you're not getting enough of God's Word in you. Because the more, what does the Scripture say in Romans 12? What does it say? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, His perfect purpose for you. How does that come? From the renewing of your mind. That word transform, that word in the Greek means metamorpho-ou. That's what it is. It's a big word for metamorphosis. And actually, if you spend the time, because I've done some lessons here on walking in the light, that word metamorpho-ou, or transformed, if you look it up, it means to be transfigured. That's exactly what it means. You are literally transfigured into His image and likeness. And actually, I spent some time talking about this tribe that was in Rwanda in the 60s that began to literally shine. They were called the Shining Ones. And they began to shine after a period of time because they kept renewing their minds on the Word of God. They got sin out of their lives, and they began to be the very image. They became transfigured just like Jesus. And that can happen here in this earth today in our lives when we get more of His Word and less of sin in our life, you literally will be walking as a transfigured being. You're looking for aliens. No. See, you start shining in front of people, they're going to say, something has landed. But anybody who's read any of the accounts of the men and women that have gone on before us, Smith Wigglesworth, all of them, John G. Lake especially, he'd just walk and people would fall out. Same thing with Paul. His very shadow. He became what? Transfigured. Transformed. And so as we begin to get God's Word in us, we will become like Him. We will become the very purpose and will of God. That's what Jesus did. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I came to do His purpose. And see, that's what we need to do. Sometimes the devil is taking and getting us distracted. See, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you become spiritually minded, you begin to know what your purpose is. You begin to live out the purpose of God for your life. And the devil is trying his best to unleash distractions that we all want to go charging after. And we start doing His purpose instead of the will of the Father. We ought to have nothing to do with it. I'm serious. Because we've been called to a higher calling. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Amen. Let me read a few things here. Just a few minutes here. This is Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, and you're familiar with this scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption. See, this is His will. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us. This is His action. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known. See, He's not hiding this. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, yes. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Let me read this. This is another scripture verse. So we're going to pick up here on Wednesday again. Because I got a sense we're going to go a little further with this. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. See, His purpose is eternal. This is what the scripture says right here. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That purpose is eternal. And his word, he is the word, and he's eternal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me just read this. Brother Archie was sharing this morning in class. And kind of struck a note with me in light of, you know, you can look at the scriptures, how God is revealing them to you. But let me read this, as he was reading this morning in 2 Peter. We're talking about purpose and getting the Word of God in you and being enlightened with God's purpose and will for you. Here's 2 Peter, first chapter, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now listen to these next verses. For if these things be in you and abound, that means you're not only a hearer, but you're a doer of the Word of God. They make you. See, the Word will make you and change you. It will transform you. It'll make you into a new person. That you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to know your purpose. Now look at the next verse. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind. You can't see. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what they say. What's up? I don't know what's up. You're blind. And it says what? And you can't see far off. You don't know. You're not enlightened by God's word. But the more of God's word that you get into your spirit, into your heart, and you meditate day and night, you are going to begin to be transformed like Jesus was, and you are going to continually and with more passion and zeal do his will and not yours. You're going to put your will aside and do his. And you're going to do his purpose. Let me read another few scriptures here before we close. 1 John. 1 John 3 and 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. First John 3 and 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. What's the next say? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. This was the purpose of the Father. And I like the Amplified. It says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing. I'm not talking about missing something. I'm talking about the scripture says practicing evil doing is of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was manifest, visible, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. And that was his purpose. Was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So he came to set us free. And the more that we meditate and the more that we feed upon God's word, those things are going to become clearer and clearer in your life how to walk this walk. You're going to know his purpose, not only for your life personally, but you're going to know his will and purpose from the word of God. It's going to be, what does it say? The entrance of his word and the unfolding gives light. Amen. Just some thoughts to ponder on, and we'll pick up on Wednesday. And I'm going to, as we just have a few minutes and we have communion, I'm going to close. And if you're not here on Wednesday, hold your comments for Pastor Greg next Sunday. We're twins. He can answer the question. Now, he's my brother in the Lord. And I trust you got some light out of this message. As I say, make it simple. Praise God. Did you get something? Was your heart enlightened or stirred to see something? Some of the things we already know. Sometimes the Holy Ghost just, you know, it's like, I like what Brother Hagin used to say, we're having potatoes again. No, it's just going to be presented in a different way. We're going to put a little dressing on, a little this, a little this. You're going to get potatoes, but it's just going to be presented a different way. And so sometimes when things are presented in a different way, the light goes on. You say, wow, this is good. Well, we've been serving potatoes for the last 5 years. But sometimes just the way it's served, maybe that helps someone. You understand? And that's all that Jesus did. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today, that it'll bring forth an abundant harvest and change and transformation in the lives of the hearer. And we thank you, Father, that we're not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And we thank you for it, Father, for your word is your will. It is your purpose. And we thank you that as we ingest it, as we feed on it, as we do it, we become more and more the purpose and will of God. And we thank you, Father, in this earth. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. And we give you all of the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.